They always like to make fun of me, but someday the rest of the staff is going to get hurt just like I do. And so payback is coming. I should probably edit these videos before they get up on stage. So, hey, thank you guys for being here today. My name's Clayton, and I'm the lead pastor here at Central. And today we are landing the plane, okay? And anytime a pastor says they're landing the plane, that's a good thing because we're going to be finishing the current series we're on. And I just need to give you a little preview because next month we're going to be talking about character, okay? Your character. And then that's in September. In October, we're talking about politics. I don't know what's come over me. I don't know. I might need some counseling after that. But we're going to go into talking about politics and your character. It's going to be great over the next couple months. I want to make sure you know that what's coming so you could be a part of the sermon series as well. So we are finishing up this series today, and the series is called Christianity is a Contact Sport. We've been using this kind of analogy of sports that are physical, stepping into the arena, and what does that look for the Christian life, especially when it comes to sharing your story and sharing the gospel. And so I need to ask this question. What defines a contact sport? What makes a sport a contact sport? And I was thinking about this, and the only thing I could think of was pads. Like, if something has pads, then it's probably a contact sport, like football or hockey, baseball, things like that. What are some sports that are not a contact sport? How about pickleball? Okay, pickleball, anybody? Pickleball is not very much of a contact sport unless your face hits the concrete, then it's a contact sport. But pickleball is definitely not one of those. Or breakdancing. Anybody watch breakdancing as an Olympic sport? That's super weird. It was weird. But that's not a contact sport. You want to know one of the things that I think is probably the softest sports out there is actually fishing, okay? Fishing. I got a net up here today. You're like, what is that? It's a net. We're going to be talking about fishing today, but sometimes I think fishing is just, it's a pretty soft sport. I mean, think about this. All you need is a pole, a lure, a chair, a drink, and a nap, okay? You can take a nap. It's the only sport that you can take a nap and still be successful at. But I'll tell you this. Honestly, fishing can be a pretty serious contact sport. I'm going to explain why that is so. And one of the reasons is because the Bible actually uses fishing as a way to explain the Christian life and what we are called to do. And it is definitely a life where you have to get into the arena. And the first disciples actually talked about fishing a lot. They were really good at fishing. If there was a major league of fishing back then, they would definitely have been on that tour. And over the last month, we've been talking about getting in the arena. What does that look like? Having an active faith, not sitting on the sidelines. And there's something that we all need to recognize when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus. A true disciple of Jesus, you know what they do? All they do is make other disciples. If you're thinking about what is the simplest version or definition of a disciple, it's someone who makes other disciples. That sounds easy, but the problem is that a lot of times in life, even with good intentions, we get sidetracked with things, whether it's our family, raising our kids, building up a business, taking care of our finances, the future plans that we have. We take all those things and sometimes they sidetrack our main purpose in this life. And when we are in the middle of all those other things, just like everybody else in this life, we're just living it, right? We're just in the middle of life. We're living life the best way we know how. Well, we're no different than the very first disciples. They, when we find them in the story, they were just living their life. And I want to kind of jump into their story, some of the very first disciples, and how Jesus showed up in their life. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going to be in Mark today, and we're going to look at a couple of the very first disciples and what happened to them as they were just living life like we are living life, and God gives them a greater purpose. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Here's what it says. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. So Simon becomes Peter, okay? Jesus changes his name later on. But Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water. Why? For that's what they did. For they were They fished for a living. They were fishermen. You see, they were pros at fishing. And there's a big difference between fishing for a living and fishing just for a hobby. And what Jesus is going to do in this story is he's going to take what they're good at Monday through Friday on the water, and he's going to make them good at something that they do every single day to the ends of the earth. And here's what he says in the very next verse. Go on to the next slide. Jesus called out to them and said this, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." So he calls out to them. He's on the shore. They're out in the boat. And he says, "Hey, I see that you guys are fishing. Here's what I want you to do. Come follow me." And you know what? I'm gonna make you not fishermen of fish, but I'll make you a fisherman of people, fishermen of men. And he's really focused here on this idea of coming and following him. And that's one of the main key aspects of being a disciple of Jesus. And I think in our Americanized version of Christianity, sometimes we get this backwards. Instead of us submitting to Jesus saying, "Follow me," a lot of times what we want to do is we want Jesus to follow us. So you say, "Hey, Jesus, I'm going to make you part of my life, but I want you to follow me. I want you to help me. Help me with my plans. Help me with my family. Help me with my business. Help me with success. Help me with my future. Help me with my finances. I want you to get in my, not in my driver's seat, I want you to get in my passenger seat. Now I'm gonna drive my life, and I kind of want you to help me. Like give me my GPS drive, my give me the coordinates I need to go, but I'm in charge of my life. Make my future really bright, God, for me." Well, see, that's not what a disciple is. That's just a religious person. But see, a true disciple is actually someone who follows Jesus, where you get out of the driver's seat, he becomes the driver in your life. He is steering your ship. And to understand how this kind of plays into discipleship and following Jesus and this idea of a net or fishing for people, what we have to really do is we have to kind of back up a little bit. And so to make sense for this today, we need to go back two verses, okay? So you have your Bibles, you can go back to verse 14 when we started. And here's what actually happens that kind of led up to this moment. Here's what it says is later on, after John was arrested, so John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. So he's by himself. He does not have his disciples with him yet. And as he says this, "The time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." Now, this one statement, verse 15, is actually a summary. It's a great summary of all of the gospel of Mark. See, that's what Jesus is all about. He's all about sharing this good news. And we have to align these two ideas, this good news and what Jesus says that he's going to help them to do, fishing for people. How does the good news and fishing for people, how do they come together? Well, when it comes to fishing for people, the good news is actually, it's the net. When it comes to us as believers sharing the good news is the net that is thrown out into the world. It's thrown out into your neighborhood. It's thrown out into your family. It's thrown out into your school. And this idea of throwing the net is maybe something we're not very familiar with. But back in the day, they were really familiar with this idea of throwing the net out to catch something. In fact, a couple of years ago, some of our church members, we had the opportunity to go to Israel. And we were on the Sea of Galilee in this wooden boat. And we watched this guy. Here, I'm going to show you a picture of him on the screen. So if you're wondering, what does the Sea of Galilee look like in the surrounding area? That's exactly where we were. And that's where Jesus and his disciples were. And so this is the exact same setting. And on this wooden boat, this guy is throwing out a net. And a net in that region is what catches fish. That was the most effective way of catching fish. And the cool thing about the net is that it's drawn in at the end. And the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus actually says that, look, no one can come to the Father until the Father actually draws them up, okay? So this idea of a net being cast and it's drawn up and people or fish are caught up in it like this fisherman was doing. But for people are drawn up into that net. And so the big life-changing question that has to do with us today is who throws out the net? When it comes to the net being thrown out, okay, or the gospel going out, the gospel is the net. When it comes to the net being thrown out, who actually throws out the net? It's very, very simple. Okay, this is not very profound. You know who throws out the net? Fishermen. Okay? Fishermen throw out the net. You think about the life of a fisherman in the first century in Galilee. These guys were not well-educated. They were not perfect guys. They were just normal, rough guys. They worked hard for a living. I mean, they were just average, which is great news for us. They were like C students, okay? Anybody a C student in here? No, you're not going to. Okay, one of us in the room, okay, at the very front. All right, I'll talk to your parents afterwards. But these guys, they were just average people. They were just average guys, and God called them to take their livelihood and change it for a gospel purpose. You see, they were called to be fishers of men. So the question is, how did they throw out their net? Did they, when it comes to casting their net for people, what did they do? Did they actually just throw their net out into the water and hope that they caught people? No, that would be silly, right? Did they go into the streets and just, like a random stranger, just throw a net on them and be like, and pull them in? No, that's not what it's talking about. You want to know how they threw out their net? It's very simple. They imitated how Jesus threw out his net. They imitated what Jesus did. I don't know where I would be without YouTube how-to videos. Anybody can relate to that? Like, I mean, I don't want to pay anybody to come fix something in my house. I'm just like, how do you do this? Okay, and so YouTube's awesome. Teach you so many different things. Get you in a lot of trouble as well, and you'll mess up. But I watch these videos, and I don't want to know from just some other amateur how to do something. I want to find the professional on YouTube that's licensed, you know, and they're telling you, here's exactly how you're supposed to do that. I want to learn from a pro. And that's exactly what the disciples did. They looked at Jesus, who was a pro at fishing for people. There's a great story in Luke chapter 5 that kind of tags along with Jesus calling Peter and his brother Andrew. And in this story, Peter is on his boat. He'd been fishing all night, had not caught anything. He's a professional, and he is the best at what he does, and he's not having any success. And Jesus is on the shore, and he says, hey, you want to catch fish? Here's what you need to do. I want you to go further out, and I want you to throw the net on the other side of the boat. And Peter's like, are you kidding me? I'm a pro at this, but I'm at a loss here, okay? I'm desperate, so I'm just going to follow you. And so he goes and does that. We know the story that there's this massive amount of fish caught up in the net, so much that the boat almost capsizes. And in this story, we see that Jesus actually knows. He's used this as a metaphor. He actually knows how to fish better than even someone who thinks they know how to do it, like a pro. And he also knows where the fish are. And that's a great way to think about when it comes to sharing the gospel, casting our net. Jesus knows how to do it the best, and he actually knows where we should throw our nets. And Jesus gives a great example in so many times, but I want to take us to Matthew chapter 9, and he's going to teach his disciples back then and us as disciples today how to actually cast our net. Here's what happens. Jesus, he traveled through all the towns and villages of that area. His disciples are with him, and here's what he does. Teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And he goes on and says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so one of the things that we have to do is we need to look at his example and realize that the best way that we can actually cast our net is to imitate how Jesus interacted with people. If you want to know how to be a gospel witness in your community, in your neighborhood, at work, at school, the best way to do that is to imitate exactly what Jesus did. And in this story, he gave people, when he's casting out the net, he gives them two things. First, he gives them truth. Let's go back one screen. It says that he was teaching in the synagogues. He knew where people were that were hungry for the truth. And he goes and he teaches them. And what he gives them is he actually gives them truth. But he didn't just stop there. He also gave them something they were desperate in need for, which was love. He gave them love. He says that they met their needs. He healed them. And then he had compassion on them. You see, the truth is when we are casting the net, we have to do both. You can't just give someone all truth with no love. And you can't give someone all love without the gospel truth. It's like throwing a net. I mean, if you think about this, if you take this net and, look, I don't know how to do this, but if you were to take this net and you didn't prepare it to throw, and you just try, you just kind of wad it up and you just threw it. What's gonna happen is it's gonna go somewhere, but it's just gonna be a tangled mess. It's gonna be really ineffective. And that's just like giving someone only truth and beating, you know, them over the head with the Bible, as some people, how they cast their net. There's no love in that conversation. There's no love in that relationship. They just want to beat someone over the head with the truth and say, you need to believe, repent, or you're going to burn, right? And there's no love in that. That's what it's like when you don't prepare the net first and you just throw it at someone. But also on the other side, you can be just as ineffective if all you do is prepare the net and you get it perfectly ready, but you don't throw it, you just drop it. You're not going to catch any fish at all. And that's like when you only give someone love and you just love them like to death, but you don't actually share the gospel. You don't actually share the good news of what Jesus has done for them. You must do both. And so just like the disciples learned from a pro, I want us today just have a little fun. We're going to learn from a pro. And so Mike Harmon, Mike, come on up here. Mike, y'all give Mike a hand. He's coming up. So Mike really knows how to fish, okay? This is his net, and it smells a little bit like fish, so I trust you. Mike, why don't you tell us, I'm going to hand this over to you, okay? Because you know what you're doing. I want you to tell us a little bit about this net and how to actually throw it.
These are basically the same design that they used during the Bible times. This net is 5 foot tall. When you throw it, it expands out to about 10 foot, give or take. And as you retrieve the net, you'll see the bottom of it start to close. And that's how the fish are trapped inside there. And I've literally filled these things full with fish before, and then there's been times that you throw and you don't catch anything. But the secret to it is the preparation before you throw the net, and what you're attempting to do is, my fishing buddy calls it either pancakes or tacos. If the net goes out like a pancake and it goes out flat, it covers a lot of area, goes down, catches the fish. If you throw it and it's not prepared properly, it goes out like a taco, it's folded, and it won't catch anything. And I've done both many, many times.
Well, I like tacos and pancakes.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, can't go wrong.
Okay, yeah.
And by the way, I've got my fishing shirt on today.
That's got very fish, appropriate. Fish. Good job.
Yeah, dress for success. You throw this with one hand. It doesn't look like it, but you're basically doing it with one hand. So in the preparation, you get the line ready to go, wad that up. Then you take the net, and it needs to be hanging down straight. Take a little bit of that to get it a little shorter. This is a 5 foot net again. Then you reach down. The bottom of this has weights on it so that when you throw it, if you get it to spin a little bit, it'll make it go out. Take the bottom of that, put that up in your hand also, and take this and hold it out about the length of your arm. And that's really the way this net is prepped. You noticed in the other one, the guy is throwing probably a 20-foot net, and the preparation is totally different for that. But for this one, this is all that you need to know. And let's see.
I better get out of the way.
Yeah, I'll try to.
I want you to throw it to see what that's really like.
Okay. Well, I'll throw right out that away. Hopefully. It gets 10-foot big wide, so it takes up a lot of room. But anyway.
That was pretty good.
And then as you pull this part back up, the fish are inside that. They're getting trapped inside as it draws that bottom and it closes it. And that's it.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike. Hey, y'all give Mike a hand. Hey, he didn't mention this, but the most important thing is to actually put this around your wrist. Otherwise, it's kind of pointless when you throw it out in the water. But I love that idea of at the end you draw it up. And that's kind of what God does. The gospel goes out, and then the Lord is the one who does all the work, and he draws people to himself. And we need to realize that every single one of us is a net thrower. If you're a believer in Jesus, it means you're a disciple. It means you're called to follow Jesus. What did Jesus do? He cast the net. And we're called to cast the net as well so that people may come to know the Lord. And they may be able to understand the hope that we have. And I think there's a big motivation for all of this. Like, what is the point of all this? And it's that lives are at stake. I mean, think about that. Lives are at stake. People are drowning. They're not drowning in water. They're drowning in their sin. And they may not even know it. And Jesus wants to rescue them from their sin. And he uses the gospel as a net for which to rescue them. And he calls us to be the ones that actually throw that net. We are the casters of that net. And what's amazing about God is that he does all the work. We don't have to be perfect, okay? When it comes to sharing the gospel, sharing your story, those kind of things, we don't have to be perfect. We just need to be faithful. Several years ago, when I was a student pastor, I took a group of students to Alaska on a mission trip. And Alaska is an incredible place. We're in Anchorage, and it snows almost year-round. There's a couple months in the summer where there is no snow, and they have all these little community parks, and everybody goes to the park every single day because they don't have it throughout the year. And so our job on this mission trip is we literally went around and knocked on everybody's door in the community and said, hey, come and hang out with us. Come and be a part of what we're doing every day. We're hanging out at the park. We're playing, all that kind of stuff. And so we play with these kids all week long and play sports with them and swing with them on the swings. And we invited them all to one final day on Friday afternoon. And we learned that one of the kids that was hanging out with us, his birthday was that day. And so we went to the store. We got hundreds of cupcakes. We were going to celebrate him big time. And so that day came, and we invited the whole community. We had a couple hundred people that showed up at the park. We had bounce houses. We had food. If you want to get people to show up, just, you know, have food, okay? And so we had all this food out there. We did face painting, all sorts of fun stuff. And then it came down to the moment to cast the net, okay, to share the gospel. And our senior pastor's son, who's in high school, his name's Caleb, and he was going to share the gospel. And so he had been preparing for this moment for a long time. We've been praying about this and getting prepared. So much was riding on this. And so there's hundreds of people sitting down on the grass. He's standing up there with this microphone, little speakers, and he begins to tell his story. And he's sharing the good news that every one of us is a sinner, but there is a solution, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins, and that he rose on the third day, and that if you will believe in him, you can have everlasting life. Your sins can be forgiven. And he shares this, and I'm in the back going, yes, this is awesome. And here's how he ended it. He goes, all right, guys, I'm gonna pray. And when I finish praying, if you want Jesus, I want you to come up to the front. And if you want cupcakes, I want you to go in the back, okay? That was the gospel, like, presentation. I'm in the back going, no, no. I'm like, ah, like, oh, no, like all these little kids. I mean, who doesn't want cupcakes, right? Like, Jesus or cupcakes? I'm getting cupcakes. And so I'm like, oh, no, it's going to be a disaster. And he prays. He says amen. And you know what? Several little kids came up to receive Jesus. They're like, I want Jesus. Now, they still got cupcakes afterwards, okay? So don't worry about that. But what I realized is that you don't have to be perfect in sharing the gospel. You don't have to be perfect in sharing your story. You just need to be faithful to throw out the net. And the Lord is the one who will draw up people. In fact, being faithful can result in far more than you could ever imagine. So let me ask this. If you're a believer in Jesus, have you actually cast that net? You know, I think we are great at learning how to cast the net. We're great at learning all about the net and how to be a fisherman. But have we actually cast the net? How many times have you actually cast the net? How many times have you shared your story, presented the gospel to someone, and explained to them how they may be saved? How many times have you done that? You need to cast your net. It's so important that you cast your net and fish like Jesus fished. How do you fish? Share the truth. Don't be afraid of sharing the truth. It's okay, okay? Don't water it down. Tell them the truth that is found in God's word, but also love them. The people in this world, they need love from Christians. Not just the truth, but they need love. And the truth is, the fish might be right around you. In your life, you think about your life as being out in a boat, the fish might be right underneath you. God may have placed them right there, and all you need to do is cast the net. They might be right next to you in class. They might be right next to you at work, on your team, sitting across from you at the dinner table. They may be the person that comes and asks you what you want to drink at the restaurant. For sure, they are friends that you have on social media. Maybe it's a customer you've known for years. You've been praying for them. And God's saying they're right there. Just cast the net. The truth is that one time someone partnered with God to cast the net for you. And God used them. Maybe someone shared the gospel with you. Maybe someone modeled the gospel in your life. And God used them to cast the net. Will you be just as faithful as they were? You know, the disciples were asked that question. Will you do that? Will you follow me? Jesus asks. And here, this was their response back in Mark chapter 1. The very next verse, in verse 18, here's what happens. It says, they left their nets at once and they followed him. Look, they didn't stop fishing, okay? They were always going to be fishermen. They did go back to fishing, the Bible says at times. But their purpose in life had changed. You see, Jesus isn't asking you to change who you are, but rather change why you are who you are, okay? So if God has blessed you with a certain neighborhood, the place that you live, the job that you have, the friends that you have, the talents that you have, the skills that you have, he's not asking you to change all those things. He's just asking you to change the purpose for all those things. So wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whatever you're getting involved in, ask this question, why am I here? And the truth is that one of the main reasons why you are there is to cast the net, to share the truth in love so that God can save them. Church, I really believe that it's time for us to do that, to get into the arena. That's why fishing is actually a pretty serious contact sport. Because it means you have to have an active faith. You are not on the sidelines, you are in the game. And this whole month, we've actually wanted not just talk about it, we want to actually help you to be able to do that. And so I'm going to put something up on the screen that I believe can help you to be able to do this. And Ben, earlier in the announcements, talked about there's this amazing app. If you want to get this app totally free, it's awesome. And it is a way for you to be able to cast your net in your neighborhood. When you download this app, it's going to show you all the people in your neighborhood in a map. It's crazy, okay? So if you don't know who your neighbors are, this will show you who your neighbors are. And it begins to teach you and train you how you can actually bless your neighbors, how you can begin to pray for them, how you can begin to communicate with them, live life with them, and eventually be able to cast your net in their life. We want to equip you to be able to do that. And so that's going to stay up on this screen. Ben said he'll be out in the lobby to help you here in just a little bit. We want to leave you with a resource. We want to equip you to be able to actually do what God has called us all to do. So to end this series, here's how I want to do this. I want to invite you to stand. And we're going to pray for how we cast our net. We're going to ask God to provide opportunities to bring people into our lives. But I also want to pray for maybe someone in this room, maybe someone watching online, that God is drawing right now, that the net has been cast in your life. Will you respond to him? Let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the chance to be in the arena. You don't call us to be on the sidelines, but actually in the game. And one of the best ways we can do that is to cast the net that you have given us. The gospel is the net. Help us, God, to share our story with people around us. Help us, God, to share the truth with them. Help us to share this gospel message that Jesus loves them so much that he died on the cross to pay for their sins. And God, help us to love people and show the love of Jesus in their lives. I pray, Lord, for anyone listening or in this room, the Lord has been working on your heart. He's drawing you. God, I pray for them right now that they would surrender their life to you. They would trust in you. They've seen the truth. They've seen the love that God has for them. I pray that today might be the day of salvation, that they would say yes to Jesus. God, you would save them from their sins. And they go and tell somebody after this, so we can walk alongside them and help them in this journey to be a disciple of Jesus. But Lord, help us. Help us to be better witnesses. Help us to be bold in our faith. And God, I pray for everyone in this room, everyone watching online who calls themselves a Christ follower, I pray, God, that you would give them clear opportunities to cast the net. I pray, God, they would be faithful. Help us, God, to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Central, we're so glad that you joined us today for Central Online. It's been a great time of worshiping our Savior together as a Central family. Maybe today God has been speaking to you about trusting him with your whole life and even taking that first step in following him. Well, we'd love to get to connect with you. You can text the word forgiven to 94,000, and that will get you in touch with our ministry team. And if you just need prayer about something specific, we'd love to be able to come alongside you and pray. So just send an email to prayer@cbcowasso.org. Well, if this message has spoken to you today, why not take a second and share this with a friend or family member that might need to hear it? It's an exciting time to be part of Central as we do our best to live for Christ, to love people, and to make disciples. We'll see you next week.